WildTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready? No, no, no. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Jane has got two words for you.
Tonight, love them some Daniel Bryan. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Raw Post Show Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. I am Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Hello, all.
It was Monday Night Raw in the United Kingdom, and well, someone who hasn't wrestled on Raw in 3 years was all over this show.
Thank you. Thank you, WWE.
But before we get to a dead man, a brother, and his goat, we start off the night with Paul Heyman standing in the ring talking about the challenge from last week on Raw.
So here it is. The moment you've all been waiting for, where you get to hear the answer from a first ballot Hall of Famer himself, Triple H. Only, ladies and gentlemen, Triple H is not here at Raw this evening. I don't blame you. I feel the very same way. Much like every member of the WWE Universe, have been let down by Triple H. Now, I know that my reputation is that of a liar. How I got that, I will never know. But I have received an email from Triple H, and I want to read it to you verbatim right this moment. Paul, because I guess we're on a first-name basis now, I've never run from a fight in my life, but due to my current injuries, I will give you my answer next week. Next week. Next week. I offered to stand in this very ring and look Triple H in the eye and shake his hand and say, sir, I respect you and I admire you. And much like each and every one of you, I have been let down by this gutless coward who didn't have the manhood to appear here tonight like I did here in London.
Could it be? Is he here? He is! And that's no coward, ladies and gentlemen!
I applaud you. You got me. I played the game, and and you won. I got the email and I read it. Well played. My compliments.
See right there?
Yes.
I lied. And here's the thing.
Please.
I want you to go back home.
Please.
And tell Brock Lesnar, I accept.
Oh, oh, look out!
Oh,
look out!
Yes! Yes!
Are we gonna see a pedigree on the Walrus? Yes! Pedigree from the game! The message has been sent!
So the first thing we've learned tonight in Attitude Era Communication, Triple H knows how to send an email.
Well, he knows how to tweet, so I'm sure sending an email is...
I know.
However, somebody else doesn't have a cell phone.
That's what we'll get to later. I love Paul Heyman.
Oh, he was fantastic in this segment. He sold it hook, line, and sinker. And his face when Triple H's music hit. My God.
He was like, oh, crap. What did I do? The only thing missing was when Paul Heyman said he got an email was...
No.
The only
and the Raw general manager says, and I quote...
I lied.
That was a great line by Triple H, because as he's winding Heyman's tie around mm-hmm. his finger... And Heyman's going, oh my God, please don't,
oh,
please
no.
don't, please don't. I lied.
Oh, crap. And a pedigree to Heyman. That was a fantastic open to the show.
It was. It was great.
Short and effective, you got Paul Heyman to sell the match, Triple H accepting the match, and it's on an Extreme Rules, a cage match. Triple H and Brock Lesnar.
And I'm excited for him. I really actually want to see these two have that physical match, because it seemed like they tried to have it, and obviously circumstances prevented them from having it at WrestleMania. So I'd really like to see them finally have that really physical match that we were expecting last pay-per-view and didn't get.
They've let us down twice before. I'm hoping they don't let us down this time around.
Well, as they say, third time's the charm.
Exactly. Our first contest of the evening is R-Truth and Antonio Cesaro. We got R-Truth singing, Cesaro yodeling, and the crowd chanting, Ole, 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 ole. Solid match. R-Truth picked up the victory over Cesaro. I don't know what they're doing with Cesaro at the moment.
Testing him severely.
Mm-hmm. They must be. There's a picture of him. He came out with a beret during one of the house shows, which is an interesting look for him. I believe the picture is on WWE.com. But yes, R-Truth wins. He's on a winning streak, getting set to go after the Intercontinental Championship, perhaps. Outside somewhere, over the rainbow, over in England, a helicopter was shown touching down in a dirt field. Who's in that chopper? But none other than Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. You gotta
this,
be... Go ahead.
This was badass.
I mean, come on now. They come out of a helicopter now? Come on now, guys. That's just freaking awesome.
Oh yeah, you know, we're just gonna fly in this helicopter, and later, you know, we're wrestling The Undertaker. You know, just another day in the life.
Mm-hmm.
This was just... fantastic. And of course we all know, I guess the majority of us know, the real reason why they had the helicopter, which was they were working the SmackDown show, they had to fly him in for Raw so mm-hmm. they could get him there on time, but still, it's like, that's pretty badass. I now want the Shield to show up every time in a helicopter.
Wouldn't it have been cool if they came in a helicopter during WrestleMania?
Oh, that would have been awesome.
They just had nowhere to land.
Well, I'm sure if they could logistically do it, they probably could have borrowed one of the military's choppers and just had it hover and they slide down the ropes.
No, what they should have done, oh, would have been cool, parachutes.
Yes.
Parachuting down into the MetLife Stadium. Hmm. Oh well, maybe another time.
Well, you don't give him a year
or two.
Yeah, you know, don't blow everything up front.
Yeah, and you can't do it in the what's it, the Silverdome, is it?
Yeah, Silverdome, Superdome.
Superdome, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so you can't do it next year, but maybe...
Maybe sometime, well, who knows?
Maybe sometime, you know, another show.
Who knows? In the ring, we have Damian Sandow taking on Brodus Clay. Sandow won. Interesting ending. It just seemed a little awkward with Sandow rolling up Brodus Clay with a handful of tights for the victory. There was a Sandow imitator in the crowd, which was funny.
They need to just take this crowd. I'm going to say this right now. They need to take this crowd and take them on the road with them. This crowd tonight was tremendous. It's like, oh, look, there's the crowd from 2 weeks ago. They came back.
They do exist. Not as loud as they were in New Jersey, but they do exist.
They do exist, and they made their presence felt.
Indeed, indeed, indeed they did. Sandow with the victory. Backstage, we have a recap of Dolph Ziggler's win. Then we have backstage, Dolph Ziggler was shown telling someone off camera that they're beautiful and that they love them, and then we get to see Ziggler's eyeing up the world heavyweight title, which walked in AJ and asked if Ziggler's trying to make her jealous. Ziggler then told AJ that, you know, she would look good with gold around her waist, and then, you know, they started talking about how Caitlyn was a water buffalo. Funny. They kissed a little bit and then they peeled back to reveal Big E just standing there watching, stalking, creeping in. And they told him Ziggler told Big E to stop creeping in on their quality time. We had Vicky Guerrero wins. Yeah,
that was just, oh,
between Ziggler and Jericho.
It was. It really was. It's like, this Sophie, you can tell this is going to be a stacked card. Which, I'm okay with. I don't know about you.
I'm good with being a stacked card. We then come back from break, and we get a very interesting promo from The Shield.
Ambrose. Reigns. Rollins. And we are The Shield, and we went to great lengths to be here for you tonight. For 20 years, 2 decades, The Undertaker has been the judge, jury, and executioner in WWE. He would decide who was guilty, dole out his brand of justice, and sentence his victims to rest in peace. Well, I don't know who gave him that right.
So far, no one has been capable of stopping him.
Until now. For the first time in 3 years, The Undertaker has come back to Raw to step in the ring. But I hope the last outlaw is listening real hard right now. These days, The Shield is the law. We are the judge, jury, and executioner. We make the rules. We hand out the sentences.
So tonight, Undertaker, you, your brother, and your little buddy Daniel Bryan, at your expense, we make our greatest statement. We own the night.
For the first time in his entire life, for the first time in his entire ghoulish existence, The Undertaker will know what justice tastes like. Believe in The Shield.
Good promo.
Fantastic promo. By the way, I'd just like to point out, nobody tells The Undertaker anything. He just kind of sort of assumes it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just pointing that out.
Good good promo by the Shield. It sets up the matchup later in this show. But as we were just talking about, it is the World Heavyweight Champion Dolph Ziggler taking on Chris Jericho. This matchup featured some fandangoing chants. We heard... We saw the crowd do the wave, rather. And Chris Jericho play into the wave.
It was amazing.
And they did it right. As they were down on the mat, the crowd did the wave. They let the crowd do their thing, and before getting up, they played with the crowd. That's what you want. They played to the crowd. And the wave almost cost Chris Jericho, but it did not. A little bit more of a counters back and forth. And then we hear Fandango's music when Jericho has the Walls of Jericho on Dolph Ziggler. This allowed Ziggler to escape, and then Ziggler hit the zigzag for the victory on Y2J. Really good match.
This was a great match. I love that they played to the crowd. I love that they had fun with it, and you could tell they could.
Yeah. That's what happens when you have experience. You have two experienced guys who know how to play to the crowd, play with the crowd.
Yeah, it's, guess what? You know, this... 2 weeks ago, they knew they were in front of a European crowd. Now they come over to London. They know, again, they are in front of that European crowd. So it's, let's play with them. Let's have fun with them. Why not?
Very good point. And I like the match. It wasn't their best matchup between the two. They've had a couple better ones, but this was still good.
You really can't go wrong with these two. You really can't.
No, you really can't. In the ring, Tensai took on Cody Rhodes.
Poor Cody. He got the jobber entrance.
Well, they both did.
Yeah, but nobody cares about Tensai.
Tensai wins, however. So, yeah. They split the booking. One Sandow got one, Tensai got the other. Feud continues between the Tons of Funk and Team Road Scholars.
So shall we see an Extreme Rules match, perhaps?
Perhaps we may. And now, I don't know how to explain this one. I'll just let the voices, tell you what exactly happened in this one.
Yes? Where is he? Is he here yet?
When he's here, you'll know it.
How are we ever supposed to beat the Shield if we don't go over strategy?
You don't have to worry about the Brothers of Destruction.
First of all, it's Team Hell No and The Undertaker, not the Brothers of Destruction and Daniel Bryan. Second of all, I am worried. Nobody has defeated the Shield, and we all need to be on the same page. Can't you just, like, give him a call or something?
Give him a call? He doesn't exactly carry a cell phone.
Well, he needs to be here, because I came up with a great game plan for tonight. First, I'm going to start the match.
Daniel, wait. The Undertaker does not take orders.
But I have diagrams. Diagrams! What is with you tonight? Is this because we haven't hugged in a while?
Daniel, if I get the Undertaker, you have to promise not to show him diagrams. And whatever you do, do not try to give him a hug.
Okay, I promise.
Good.
Hey!
He had diagrams.
Diagrams?
He wanted to strategize. He had diagrams. He wanted to talk things over. And it's not Brothers of Destruction, it's Team Hell No.
With The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
This is that segment that you wish Taker had walked in on.
Yeah. But it worked.
Oh, it totally worked.
Fantastic.
Because Kane, it's basically Kane standing there going, oh my god, please don't embarrass me in front of my brother. Please don't do it.
Because we all have that friend, you don't want to embarrass you.
Right.
And in front of your family, and, well, Daniel Bryan's Kane's friend that will embarrass him in front of his family.
So, yeah, that was just, it was a great setup. And you're sitting there, and it's like, Kane goes, and whatever you do, don't try to hug him. And, of course, we're all sitting here going, damn it, now I want to see Daniel Bryan try to hug The Undertaker. I want it now.
I know.
Curse you.
Curse you. Curses you. And he doesn't have a cell phone.
He doesn't have a cell phone. So how does one get a hold of The Undertaker?
I think they have a bat symbol, but it's a Taker symbol, and they just shine the light.
Thanks for stealing my idea.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All credit goes to Lindsay Ward for that. Okay?
Fantastic segment. Hyped up the match perfectly.
It's what we wanted.
It's what we wanted.
They gave us what we wanted.
Well, it's like you knew that they were going to have to do something with these two to get at least Brian's reaction, because you know... And we'll get to the match in a minute, but it's like, you know it for at least Brian. He's going, oh my god, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Oh my god, it's Taker.
And I like the finish. The Shield just showed up and attacked them. It put some doubt into will they show up for the match later on tonight. We then had, for the first time in like forever, a SmackDown rebound. I don't remember the last time we actually had a SmackDown rebound.
A while, hasn't it?
I think it has been. So we had the SmackDown rebound, and then we come back from break. It is Big E Langston taking on Zack Ryder.
He forgot to take care and spike his hair.
And he even tweeted that later. Zack Ryder got killed. Big E won. He has his own entrance music now.
He's moving up in the world.
He is. And then we have the match of the night. Out comes The Undertaker.
Who opted for the low-key casual druid robe.
Well, it's only a Raw. It's not a pay-per-view.
Yeah, but still, I'm sure he spent a lot of money on the Assassin's Creed robe. And, you know, he's only worn it twice.
But you gotta think that's a pain in the ass to travel with.
No more so than the other two.
But has he ever traveled overseas with a big Super Shredder robe?
Super Shredder didn't exist the last time he went overseas.
Okay, then. So, you know, he's taking it easy. Hey, he made the trek out to London.
This is true. He did.
So the Undertaker's in the ring. No Kane, no Daniel Bryan. Out come the Shield. And the fight is on. It's a 3-on-1 attack by the Shield on Taker. And Taker's fighting them off. They get the advantage. And then you hear Kane's pyro and Daniel Bryan and Kane storm to the ring. And the fight is on.
Nice hot opening.
Taker, Bryan, and Kane clear the ring of the Shield as they try to regroup as we went to break. That was, as you said, a hot opening to this match. And then we get to the matchup itself. Great match.
People be showing off! Left, right, and center in this one.
And the best part about this, we had some real tag team work.
We did.
Lots of tags between both sides. Lots of old school type tag team maneuvers. They brought in Taker when he needed to be, and he was ready to fight tonight.
Yeah, especially when Seth Rollins called him old.
Oh, yeah. It started with Dean and Taker in the ring together. Ambrose was able to block an old school at one point. then Taker came back and did it the second time. Really good match. Bryan was awesome with his kicks. Seth Rollins, oh my god.
Crazy motherfucker. Crazy.
Daniel Bryan had him on the outside, and Daniel Bryan does his dive out of the ring. Oh my god, did Seth Rollins fall backwards into the guardrail.
It's not only that, there's one point where Bryan hit him and he did a full flip.
That too.
Like I said, people be showing off in this one.
They were trying to impress The Undertaker or something tonight.
I think they were just trying to impress everybody, period. It's like, you're... Because if you think about it, The Shield's getting a match with Taker. You put on the best that you've got. End of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And the spot where Reigns hit the spear on Taker, holy shit.
They sucked you into this matchup. Taker was, you could tell Taker was into it. You see it. He was standing on the apron, he was focused, and he was trying to, you know, when Kane did the chokeslam, you saw Taker do the motion with him. Really good match, really good stuff.
When they were throwing the insults, Taker got him mad.
Taker was pissed, like all hell, and when he got in the ring, he just started beating on people.
I want more of these.
Ambrose and Bryan were left in the ring together. Bryan goes for a top rope headbutt. Ambrose moved out of the way. And then Ambrose rolled up Daniel Bryan for the 1-2-3. Taker was shocked. The Shield celebrated as they escaped through the crowd. Kane and Taker tried to figure out what the hell happened. Bryan was shaking his head in anger. Kane kind of rubbed his head a little bit. Really, really good stuff. Really good match. The right way to use The Undertaker on Raw.
This was perfect. This was everything you expected it to be, and then some.
And they gave them time.
They did. This was a nice, long match. It was well-paced. It was well done. More. I want more of this, because these six can put together a really nice match.
Yes, they can. I think I'm going to miss something along the way. I'm not too sure.
No, I don't think so, and if you did, it'll come to you.
It'll come to me in a minute. I think there was a moment where Foley... I missed one thing in the first hour. That's what it was. Because the report this week split up in three episodes. We met Mick Foley, talked to Josh Matthews before the second hour started, and plugged the DVD, and then basically said he wanted to call it out Ryback later tonight. In some semblance. Because then we have Mick Foley backstage with John Cena. Foley, you know... He says have a good feeling about this. Foley said he gets it, but he wants to face Ryback like a man. Cena thinks it's a big mistake, and then Foley said his career is full of mistakes, and he would like Cena to respect his decision to confront Ryback. And then Cena accepted the fact, and then gave Foley a steel chair. Nice little segment,
but I don't know what it was, but something about Foley's hair bothered me.
Okay, I can explain this.
You can explain this?
He got a haircut.
Okay.
And I will give you the update on the haircut, because he posted something about that. And no, I'm not feathering or perming my hair, just a haircut that didn't go very well. Now sporting a hashtag Foley Bob.
It's not even a Foley Bob. He looks a little bit like a poodle.
But Foley did tweet about it tonight, about his hair being weird.
Okay. Well, it did. I'm sorry. I'm sitting there looking at it. I'm like, what's wrong with it? Something's off.
It's called a bad haircut day for Mick Foley.
Bad hair day.
Yep.
Okay.
We then get the Fandango entrance.
And the fans were ready for it.
Mm-hmm. The crowd was Fandangoing. They did it a couple times throughout the night, but this time they really got to Fandango. And this led to the match, Fandango versus the real man's man, William Regal.
Oh, Regal.
Nice of them to give Regal a match in his hometown.
It was, and he got a pop. And you could tell he was into it, man. He was excited.
Mm-hmm. So Fandango picked up the victory over William Regal. After the match, Fandango took the mic from Summer Rae from NXT and introduced himself as Fandango. And the crowd started singing. He dances up the entrance ramp. They pose on the stage, interrupted by Chris Jericho, which got a huge pop from the crowd. He then chucked Fandango off the stage. Jericho, however, was not done. He took a look over at Summer Rae. And then the Fandango music played, and we had a little bit of dancing. A little dip by Chris Jericho with Summer Rae, and then a little twirl. A grin on Jericho's face as he did a little bit of Fandangoing to Fandango tonight.
We got a Dancing with the Stars reference. It was amazing.
This is why Chris Jericho is awesome.
Chris Jericho owns Fandango like a boss.
Mm-hmm. Number one contenders match for number one contenders battle royal for the Divas Championship. You had the likes of Tamina, Snuka, Layla, the Funkadactyls, and AJ in the ring. The Bella Twins were not allowed into it because of what happened last week, and they were DQ'd from the battle royal because they cheated. The first time that's ever happened in wrestling means they weren't there. So we saw a bunch of eliminations early in the match. Tamina kicked AJ right in the face, which knocked her out, and AJ just lay there. That's it. Just lay there. She was dead. And Layla trying to move her? Fantastic.
Oh, that was great, because she was sandbagging it the whole way.
She was dead weight the entire way. Layla trying to pull her up. And then AJ tricks her, throws her out of the ring, and AJ is now the number one contender for the Divas Championship, and AJ celebrated.
She did. This was the saddest battle royal I've ever seen. It's like, it's a battle royal with five people. Okay. It's like, you should have gotten the dancer chick and made it six.
Well, she is training in NXT, so she could have probably got in there.
Yeah, so it's like, it was an okay match. I mean, I think the high spot was when AJ jumped up on Tamina and wrapped her legs and arms around her as a sign of hello. With this little smile on her face.
Yeah.
And then when Tamina kicked her in the face and she's just laying there spread eagle flat on her back, I wonder how many fanboys had to get pulled back.
Very, very, very true.
But yay, AJ's the number one contender.
It's now main event time. Mick Foley is in the ring. Foley said he did not come here with the intentions of getting into a confrontation, yet here he is, right here in London, England.
Yeah!
He said he's about to enter a confrontation. He said Ryback wants to talk face-to-face, and he's standing right there, and he sure has something to say. So the only thing missing is Ryback, and here comes the Ryback. Foley said when Cena first gave him the chair, he was offended, but he's Mick Foley, damn it. In his day, he took on the biggest, the baddest, and the best, and he didn't always win, but no matter how bad the punishment was, he would always found a way to give back up. As he stands here now in the ring, it's now more obvious than ever that his day has come and gone. Truth is, if Ryback decides to unleash his best, he'll go down and probably won't get back up. But Foley has some thoughts to share. He asked Ryback to review the footage from last week, and then they showed it. Foley said, if this is that's the case, what happened? What happened to the guy who took the WWE by storm last year? What happened to the guy who commanded respect? To the guy who told the world, feed me more? Ryback replied that Foley better be careful what he wishes for. Foley then went back to Ryback's comment that he was left laying by the Shield and no one helped him. Foley said that happened to him numerous times, but he doesn't remember how many times that happened because he didn't keep track. He only kept getting up. You know, he talked about statistics. Statistics in wrestling? What?
Never happened.
Never. Foley was fired up, told Ryback he will be the WWE champion one day, but does he want to be the champion by walking away or on a challenge by the WWE champion and watching John Cena get destroyed by the Shield? He told him, you need to wake up, and then Ryback responded with, shut up, Foley. Ryback then started pacing around the ring, said Foley sticks his nose in other people's business year after year. He said Foley's full of a bunch of messages from the past, acting like he means something. He asked Foley why he keeps reliving his glory days, but to sell some more DVDs. By the way, the review of the new DVD is now on rockradioshow.com. Ryback accused him of that. Ryback said he wanted to send a message to Super Cena, and he sent it. Ryback said he wanted a WWE title match, and he got it. Ryback says he wants to be WWE champion, and in Extreme Rules, he will be. Throughout this promo, Ryback starts hitting himself in the head. Why?
Somebody got a hold of the voodoo doll again?
Quite possibly. Ryback said to Foley, Super Cena, and these stupid people, this is where he hit his head again, have a problem with it. He doesn't care. Ryback questioned Foley, trying to lecture him on being a man. And then he dressed down Foley, saying he stands there holding a weapon like a fat, pathetic, lazy bastard. Ryback then asked Foley how standing there holding a chair is going to help him. Foley dropped the mic and told him that he'll show him, held up the chair. Ryback grabbed the chair and threw it away. Those two men were ready to go at it, and now came John Cena. Before John Cena and Ryback could square off, we heard the Shield's music. With the Shield coming to the ring, Cena was on the apron, got out of the ring, dropped down, stood at the ramp, left leaving Ryback alone. The Shield was ready to attack, and they do, on the Ryback. But here comes John Cena, with chair in hand, starts hammering the Shield with the chair. We then had Cena and Ryback square it off, face to face, in the center of the ring. Ryback glanced away for 1 second, and then we got the attitude adjustment to the Ryback, with John Cena standing tall, as Monday Night Raw goes off the air.
I'd like to point out to Ryback, because he said something in this promo that he's the greatest thing to come into the WWE in the last year. No, honey, no, you're not. The Shield is.
Mm-hmm.
And they can back it up because they have a helicopter. They got to wrestle The Undertaker. Just
pointing that out.
Pointing that out.
Decent segment to end Raw. Not something great, but Foley tried. Ryback needs a manager desperately.
He really, really does. He tries to talk, and the thing is he tries to sound intelligent as he's talking, which there's nothing wrong when you try to sound intelligent. But in his case, it doesn't work for him, because everybody looks at him and they see really a meathead, and they expect a meathead. And it's, when he tries to talk intelligent, it's just, it doesn't fit him. So yeah, just get the man a manager.
He needs a mouthpiece, that's all we're saying.
He needs a mouthpiece, or he needs to work on his promo skills.
One or the other.
One or the other.
But there you have it. That's 3 hours of Monday Night Raw. And all we can say is, more Taker?
Which I guess we can talk about Thursday.
Good idea.
Hmm.
But yeah, I enjoyed tonight's Raw. Didn't it really drag. The crowd was into it. The Shield versus Taker, Kane, and Bryan was great. The promo was great. The Shield was a nice focus. You know.
Shameless Plug 101. Oh, we're all about Shameless Plugs here. That's all we do.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Right here, yes.
So yeah, anything else you want to comment about Raw before we wrap up the show?
This was a really, really, really great show. Very enjoyable. Lived up to every expectation I had because I was really looking forward to this show. Not just for the Taker Shield match, but for pretty much everything because it's just like, okay, this is going to be good. They're over in London. They're bringing people in specifically for this show to stack it out. So it's going to be good. They're going to book it right.
Mm-hmm.
So it lived up to every expectation. Highly enjoyable. I just wish they would do this every week, you know?
You want this team type. Yeah, but at the same time, you always can't deliver that.
Oh, I know. But they did everything right tonight, which was nice.
Yeah, they the lower card feud got attention, and the main matches also got attention. It was a nice show, and they have time. They're slowly. Usually the case is, here's Mania, there's the night after Raw, then there's a week there where it's okay, cool, we have to set up the next pay-per-view, then we go over to London for the grow home, and then, oh look, we come back and there's one more week, and then it's pay-per-view.
Right. This week they've got a nice long stretch in between Mania and Extreme Rules to where they can really do some nice things, and so far they are.
Right, and you could tell tonight there were people missing because there's an actual house show going on.
But that's okay, you know. Aside from the Divas match, they really didn't feel like they were hurting.
No, they didn't, because you used Foley, you used Taker, you used you had the SmackDown rebound showing off the four guys. There was someone. Did I say Regal? I think I did.
Yeah, you Regal. You used Hunter. You used Heyman. Right. You used everybody you had, which was nice. It was a nice smattering of talent where it's
they're using their star power nicely.
Yeah, it's everybody that needed to be on the show got on the show. They were able to put out the matches in a longer format, so they were more enjoyable. It's like, you know, aside from the obvious squash matches, it's nice that Jericho and Ziggler got some time. It's nice that Taker, Kane, Bryan, and Shield got time.
Yes, Stephanie was not there. She was with Linda accepting an award.
Yeah.
So overall, good show.
Great show.
And we'll probably talk about more on Thursday night. Before we get to Thursday night, there's that gong. tomorrow night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, where they talk all things WWE, TNA, and the independent scene. Not just in one area, but the entire independent scene, Shine, Ring of Honor, and all the likes. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik, 9 p.m. Eastern. He'll be talking to Nigel McGuinness and Tokyo Monster Kahegis. That's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik, 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, it's Cheap Heat Radio at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Scott Perry and Matthew Forsina. If you didn't hear their interview with the Mark Anthony and Hammerjack all about Crossfire Wrestling, go to the archives, check it out. Check them out, Cheap Heat Radio, Wednesday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Lindsay, Thursday night, it's The Rack.
That's right. Tune into The Rack. We're going to be talking all about Impact. We've got discussions, Tweet of the Week, Magic 8-Ball segment, and more. So tune into The Rack. We're also going to be announcing we've got a contest coming up, which I guess we could technically announce tonight if we really wanted to, but we're going to wait till Thursday because we're doing it in conjunction with the great Brian Shields, who will be coming on the 2nd of May. If you don't know who he is, well, tune in Thursday and we'll tell you all about him.
Yes, we're giving you free stuff, so tune in.
Yes, free stuff.
We're going to have some fun. So tune in, The Rack, Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern, rackradioshow.com. Friday night, Mace plays video games around 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. He's playing something called Injustice, something or other. I can't remember exactly, but tune in. Mace will plug it on the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork. As he sits there and plays video games for your enjoyment. Saturday night, midnight-ish, at CB Radio with myself, Ron Parks, and Subway. We talk about the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. Sunday is Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason Omega, 10 p.m. Eastern, covering a week in professional wrestling. We'll be back for another edition of the Raw Post Show next Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Go to CanadianAllPro.com. tickets still available for April Assault this Saturday. If you're in the Calgary area, bring Legos to the Royal Canadian Legion number 1. Lindsay.
Follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check out that. Go to CastyRiley.net. And, of course, go to RecRadioShow.com.
So with that all being said, you've tuned into another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back next Monday night live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern right here along the airwaves across the, of the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PWMania.com and MemLeanPromo.com. Good night, everybody.